Money FM 89.3, best of the evening runway. Culture Club.
Money FM 89.3. It is the evening runway. I'm Elliot Dacker. It's time now for Culture Club. Today we asked a question. Are you a business owner looking to retire or perhaps thinking of moving on from your business to another venture? Well, if you fall into that category or any of that categories, it may be time to consider selling your business, because selling your entire business is different from selling your shares. Hear me out. See, when you sell your business, the business's existing assets and liabilities are taken over by the person buying it or the entity buying it. Unlike selling a share where, say, for the change of shareholder, there is really no change in terms of ownership of the business assets. Now, we know this. The thing is, our next guest sold his marketing and strategy business. He was thrilled with that until he found out that the buyer would have paid 300% more. You know, it was not just about the money. I mean, selling his business, the conventional M&A way, reduced the monumental milestone to an emotionless transaction. We're going to find out today how entrepreneurs can achieve maximum value for the companies, especially during tough economic times. On the line with me is Rob Fellows, who is founder and chairman, STS Capital Partners. Rob, good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, good afternoon. Fabulous. Thank you. Thanks for having me on the show, Elliot.
Thanks a lot for taking the time. Let's talk a little bit about STS Capital Partners. They are expert guides for entrepreneurial business owners on the journey to achieving extraordinary exits. What else can you tell us about the company?
Well, it's founded by entrepreneurs to serve entrepreneurs, Elliot. There's a lot of conflicts in the financial sector for families and entrepreneurs like I was that are interested in selling their business. And we all want to maximize value when we sell our business, Elliot. And so in finding that I actually left 75% of the money on the table and ending up doing a lot of work for the family for the next 10 years buying businesses, I started STS Capital Partners 20 years ago, Elliot, to help families and entrepreneurs actually be able to maximize value working with us, because we help only the guys selling, never the guys buying, Elliot.
All right. You're on our side in that sense. Tell us a little bit about the kind of guidance that you provide. I know you mentioned, you know, losing 75% potentially. So what are things that are commonly missed out on by people looking to sell their businesses?
Yeah, that's a great question, Elliot. Thank you. People often don't understand several things, but the key is the difference between a financial investor that's looking at buying their business and a strategic investor. And they often take on advisors that are aligned with the financial investors in the marketplace. And those people are working, Elliot, with other people's money. You know, they're private equity, venture capital, merchant banks, and others. And, you know, they run great businesses for themselves. But when it comes to being the entrepreneur or the family business owner that's looking to run a confidential transaction so their competitors and their employees don't find out about the process in the middle of it, and they're looking to maximize value on the sale, those financial buyers, Elliot, don't actually have aligned interests. They want to buy low themselves and then sell high later to what we call a strategic investor. And so if families and entrepreneurs can come to understand that those that are calling them to buy their businesses generally aren't their friends, it's stopping, taking stock of what you want to accomplish in a sale of the business, and then position yourself directly, Elliot, with strategic investors, those that will make more money owning the business, their operators, and they'll give you much, much better deal, usually 200 to 300% more than private equity or financial buyers will.
Rob, this is a brilliant point that you bring up. Someone in my 40s right now, I am already looking at establishing my own business. And I find that the way I approach it is so different from people I know who are in their 20s. That emotional attachment doesn't exist as much as someone in their 20s. Is this something that you could relate to?
Oh, yes. In my 20s, I actually didn't understand exit and the exit process. I was so focused on building the business and on customers and on scaling the business, which is, of course, what we all need to do as we're growing a business. But always keeping in mind that at some point, you're going to be thinking of exiting, whether it's through your own passing on or through an early decision. You know, Ellie, we say it's the six D's that really force an exit: death, disease, divorce, disability, disenchantment, or disintermediation. And so rather than waiting for one of those things to come along, just being proactively aware that you can prepare at the same time you're operating a business to sell to a strategic when the time's right. It's something that I wish somebody would give me that advice on, Elliot, back in the day.
Yeah, if only you were 10 years younger with all the knowledge you have today, you'd be unstoppable. I think about that every day, my friend. Just a little bit more about your entrepreneurship journey. Could you walk us through your philanthropic mindset?
Sure. So I do believe that many of us as entrepreneurs and family business owners, or if you look at the history of the world, are fortunate to be where we are. And so that's just one of my premises in looking at life. But as business owners, I think that we can do a lot to help make the world a better place and at the same time reduce our turnover, increase our competitive positioning with our clients, and be in a better overall performing position as a business leader than if we don't do any philanthropic work. And so when we set up STS Capital Partners, we set it up under two STSs, success to significance through selling to strategics. And so we help families and entrepreneurs think about how they want to create a legacy after they've sold their business, because often people, there's a problem in selling your business, and that's dropping off the purpose cliff. You have a lot of purpose when you're running your business. Elliot, after you sell a business, it can become a question of, well, what do I do now? Even though I have a lot of money, my wife might not, you know, for the guys, my wife doesn't want me home every day now, so what should I be doing? And we suggest people plan this way in advance of the sale of their business and think about what legacy work they could do. And maybe that does include some philanthropy, but doesn't include operating a business. And that could be something that they could plan for as they're exiting their business, which gives them a lot of purpose in coming through the transaction. Hence our STS being success to significance through selling to strategics as our trademark.
Many husbands stood up and related to you in that moment, Rob, I tell you. walk us through again. What made you decide to sell your business?
Yeah, well, to be honest, one of the D's I'd been through, which is a divorce. And as I looked, we had the rules were 50%, you know, of your equity. And so I thought, well, wait a minute. If 50% of the equity is enough for somebody else to you know, not have to work the rest of their life, am I sure I really want to be spending this time, you know, working on the actual business? I'd been at it for 10 years. It was going really well. I'd gone to law school. When I came out of law school, it was running pretty well without me. But what really pushed me over the edge was a friend that came to me and said, look, the free trade agreement, it was North America, and the free trade agreement in North America is not going to be protecting your industry, and it's going to be a really difficult time for you, and you're likely going to end up being destroyed by your competitors. So what I would do if I were you as a consultant and strategy, you'd be going to align with the largest. I'm Canadian originally. I mean, I live globally now. I'm talking to you from Tokyo, Japan right now. But the reality there was if I didn't sell, I would have a really hard uphill battle with the free trade agreement coming along. And so I decided to go and talk to the largest players in the industry, and they started a competitive bidding for my firm.
Right. But so in that sense, when you look back and you talked about, or I brought this up in the introduction, you realize the buyer would have paid 300% more for your company. Tell me a bit about that realization. And, you know, now that quite some time has passed, looking back, is it so bad considering you had to face that uphill battle?
Yeah. Well, there's two parts to that. Of course, I'm very thankful that, you know, that I was able to receive such a great price for the business in the circumstances, and I was able to start a charitable foundation, and I'm very, very thankful. So I'm not arrogant about it at all. But the learning was very painful. So when I opened that file, my own file, because I was doing a similar transaction for the family in another country in Europe, in Italy at the time, and when I opened the file, because it was a very similar transaction to mine, and I realized they would have paid 100 times EBITDA for the business, I learned something very fundamental that we try to teach entrepreneurs and families that are looking at selling all the time. And the really important consideration isn't your EBITDA, and it's not your operating assets. The real question is, as we use the analogy of a Rembrandt in the attic, which I can explain if we have enough, a couple minutes on that. Yep. But really, what are the assets in your business that are like a Rembrandt that's sitting in your attic that you're not putting any value on because you don't know that it's there, but a buyer looking at your business would really see value? And in my case, it was my distribution operating in multiple languages and the tax setups in all the different provinces in Canada for an American business to come in and be able to return the key immediately and service all their automotive clients immediately, which created a protection for them on the profit of that General Motors. It was General Motors at the time, which would be equivalent to Toyota in some of the markets here a few years later. So the largest car manufacturer in the market, requiring somebody that was fully set up to service all of their dealers in a given country, was the reason why they set that very, very high price to protect their intellectual property that went global for General Motors around the world out of Detroit in those days, just as it would from Japan here with the Japanese model. So that was what the justification was for paying 100 times, was protecting their own intellectual property against their competitors and preserving their revenue. It had nothing, Elliot, to do with what was actually going on in my business. And that's the biggest learning for people selling their business when you're selling to a strategic. What are they going to do with the business? How much money will they make owning it? And what assets of yours are they really going to leverage? It's probably not your profit. Yeah. And people make that mistake. And so that's probably the biggest learning.
Oh, that is brilliant. Rob, just a final question. What would you tell business owners who are looking to sell on managing that emotional roller coaster that no doubt a lot of people will go through?
Well, people, regardless of whether they work with STS, and you know we have an office in Singapore, regardless whether they're working with us or someone else, I would advise them to get an advisor that's not conflicted by not working with buyers, not working with private equity. With deepest respect to those market segments, if you're a seller, they're not your friend. And work with somebody that will understand your strengths, learn the Rembrandts that are up in your attic that you're not seeing value in inside your organization. Be willing to work with strategic buyers, not with private equity, but take the time and the effort to really be able to work with strategic buyers and have several strategic buyers fall in love with your business. If you can accomplish that, you'll get much higher multiples and a much better deal where you won't have the same emotional roller coaster as you will dealing with financial buyers. And be able to walk away. If they're not going to meet all your required outcomes, we have something called the owner's outcome exercise. We're happy to share with your listeners if they're interested. Mm-hmm. And that outcome exercise is the first step, Elliot, in a process. It's not looking at deal dynamics. It's what do we want as the entrepreneurs or the family business owners as outcomes of this deal before we even think about whether an IPO or selling to private equity or selling to a strategic or selling to employees is going to support that. What do I really want to accomplish in my life with the sale of this business and or our other partners and other stakeholders? And Elliot, if selling to a strategic, which often will bring a better value than the other three options, then hire somebody that's going to help you do that. And that's what I would recommend.
That is brilliant. I've been speaking with Rob Fellows, who is founder and chairman for STS Capital Partners. Rob, thank you very much for your time.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for listening, Elliot. And thank you to all of your listeners for listening. And bye for now.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.